Worldwide. International.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're here. Welcome to episode 100.
100. We here. They didn't believe in us, but we here. They said we couldn't make it to 100, but we here. They said Wilt scored 100. I haven't seen it, but we here. We here. We listen. Listen. I know. I know you saw that tweet too. There's been a lot of shit. A lot of funny shit that's been happening over the last couple days. But I know you saw that picture
that
I tagged you in of Wilt Chamberlain. Yeah, Wilt Chamberlain walking in the I Have a Dream speech march or the 100. What was it?
I think it was his funeral.
It was his funeral. It was MLK's funeral, and Wilt Chamberlain was there. So I'm realizing they have footage and image of Wilt Chamberlain doing a whole lot of things, but nobody knows where the footage of this 100 game is.
So I do want to talk about that because that was the first thing you said on the show, right? That was like the first or second episode you came on here and you were like, I don't think he scored 100. There's no proof of it. And at first I was like, man, that's crazy. I ain't never heard no shit like that in all my life. But man, the more I started to think about it.
And the thing is, they be talking like Wilt, like he played back in Harriet Tubman days.
No,
like
he did not.
Like they be talking about Wilt and his game like he was back there with Frederick Douglass playing. Dude played in like he played in the 60s and 70s. TVs was working then. Y'all was watching I Love Lucy. Where is the 100-point Wilt game?
I'm with you. You have pulled me over to the other side. You sent that photo. I also saw this weekend on Twitter some other people saying something similar like, how do we not have footage of the 100-point game? This is a conspiracy theory I'm all in on. I don't think
like it makes me think he didn't score 100, but whoever was at that box score didn't know what to put. He was probably at like 80 something, and the person who was keeping track of the box score, I know they like maybe took a piss break, came back, score was inflated. They was like, hey, how many points did you score? I was going, maybe about 10, 15. Let's just give him 100. Let's just give him 100.
This is how that conversation went. They came back and they said, man, what's Wilt done? How many points do you think Wilt got? And some old black man's like, she probably 100 the way he playing tonight. And that was it.
Yep, I can see it now. A couple of old black heads sitting around. That Joker Wook, y'all see that game last night? You see that game?
I know he had 100.
Yeah, 100. So, but then the rebuttal could be, but he took the picture after the game with the 100.
Oh yeah,
we don't know when that picture was taken.
Oh, hello.
We don't listen, and I don't want to all the old heads who may listen, old head basketball fans. Listen, I want to believe that Wilt scored this 100-point game. I want to believe it so that the myth, I can believe the myth. The thing is, no one can give me the proof to dispel my myth. So now it makes me think my myth might have some legs. And at this point, I'm going to need some answers. That's just me, though. But my brother, beside that, we are here.
We are here.
100 episodes. Man, I got another song for us right here, right now. Because you know what? You know what? What I feel like when I hear us and we made it to 100 episodes, it brings me back to just one song in my head.
Okay, let it ride.
This right here. Okay.
Straight up.
See, that's what it brings me back to. Like, that's why I feel like a champion. You know what I'm saying? I feel like a champion. By the way, on that song, Kanye's verse is hilarious. One of these days, 100, we gotta bring somebody up here and we're gonna have a talk about some of the funniest verses by rappers. Because listen, if rappers are artists, right? And comedians are artists. Rappers and comedians are both funny as hell if y'all really, really listen to what they're saying. Like, rappers always kill me when they always talk about, oh, my teacher said I wouldn't be shit. Well, dog, you ain't been to class in about 3 weeks. You just fail, like, you're failing the basic multiplication. Well, you can't even complete the multiplication chart table as a quiz. So what did they think that you was going to do?
I'll say this. There's a running joke in my house between me and my wife, the Kanye. I got a dark skin friend look like Michael Jackson. Got a light skin friend look like Michael Jackson. Funniest bar ever. None funnier than that. None funnier than that. That's the funniest bar ever.
Dude. I mean, he could. The thing is, you could replace that with, okay, people before I can say this one. I love the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. But Kanye could have said he got a light skinned friend that looked like Aunt Viv, and he got a dark skinned friend that looked like Aunt Viv. Rappers are hilarious, yo. Like the lies rappers be getting off. Yeah. Like Jeezy hiding in bricks under his auntie house?
Yes.
Yo, Jeezy.
Do you really grams in my auntie house? And then what?
And then you told the truth. Where were them bricks really at, Jeezy? They weren't at your auntie's house.
And then there's another favorite. I'm not going to repeat the lyric, but those of you who know Birdman and the number one stunner, there's a line where he talks about intercourse, and it is bananas when you read it.
I think I know which one you're talking about. I just want to know who. The thing is, I'm not going to say the lyrics, but I want to know if Birdman himself wrote that or if someone else wrote it for him.
I always want to know what did everyone else in the studio do when Birdman said that into the mic? Like, what?
Oh, I mean, if we hear, one more question I have is, what did everyone in the studio say when Gutta Gutta got on that song and said, "And I got her N-word grocery bag"? Everyone in there was like, wait a minute. Excuse me.
And then the Miley Cyrus line in about 3 years.
In about 10 years, holler at me, Miley Cyrus. I was like, wait a minute.
Whoa, Mr. Predator, have a seat. Where my man Scott Hansen?
Oh, rappers are funny. Yo, we're gonna do more lyric deep dives because I'm over here just thinking about lyrics that just get me laughing. Lil Wayne getting on a song, Rick Ross talking about some, leave him dead in the living room. Dog. Get it? Leave him dead in the living room. Everyone was like, whoa, wait a minute. Real cheese moving silence like lasagna?
Ball. Oh,
wait a minute. Ooh. Whoa.
Hey, the offseason is coming. It's going to get real slow in a month.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
It's going to get real slow.
Let the people know, though, where this 100th episode of Speak On It is brought to them by.
Episode 100, just like episodes 1 through 99, have been brought to you by goingfor2.com. Head over to goingfor2.com for all your daily fantasy needs. I know a lot of you are about to do your rookie dynasty drafts. I know ours is Sunday. I've been reading a lot of content so I can make the best decision possible because I got some holes to fill, and I got a lot of draft capital to fill them. So hopefully make some good decisions and repeat as champion.
Yeah, can't wait to steal some of your free agents, by the way.
Hey, I already have a list of agents that if I have to let go, I'll let go and I'll be okay.
Well, I'm glad you're taking the proper precautions to just already know that some people are already going to be losing their jobs on your team because, again, I say, I don't think enough people in our league really realize they're going to have to drop at least 3 people.
Yep. Well, I have 5 draft picks, so.
Yeah. So now some people, I mean, I don't know if this is like my commissioner duties. I look at everyone's team often. Some people I've already can tell based on like certain draft picks or the number of draft picks they have. Like people who got like 1-2 draft picks. Yeah. Now they got a full roster because duh, might as well. But if they were smart, they'd be watching them free agents, boy. I'm telling you.
Hey, anyone who's looking to jump into the first round who can hear this, give me a shout. 104 is not on the table.
Well, Bam has no draft.
No, Bam doesn't get to come in here because I made a fair offer to Bam and he turned me down. Bam is not in.
Oh, you too? Yeah, remember maybe like a month and a half ago, I offered Bam a straight up first round pick for Christian Watson and he turned it down. And that was the trade offer that made me say, okay, I might be building through the draft because I don't know what y'all are smoking up in here.
I offered Bam, I believe, 108, Mike Evans, and I believe my third round pick for Stephon Diggs, and he told me no.
Damn.
He told me no. What?
Bam, one of these days, I'm going to need you to explain your team building methods because the thing is, I've seen some of the trades that Bam has been a part of. Some of these offers aren't that bad. It won't that bad.
No, Bam, it wasn't a 2025 first. It was 108 this year, no. This Sunday.
You know you can go. You know there's a spot in the sleeper app where you can go back and see exactly what trades got accepted and denied, right?
Yeah, hold on. No. Because if it was, because if that was a slip of the finger of, on my part, hold on. Let me go to our. Yeah, I offer. I'm sorry.
He's talking about my offer. My offer was a 2025 first for Christian Watson.
My apologies. I offered 110 Mike Evans and Mike Gesicki. Bam, I'll turn it to 108 if you're interested.
A 2025 first can't get you Christian Watson?
Should I? It's 2023, though. That's 2 years down the line. I wouldn't have done that.
Well, I don't have a first-round pick, which is – that's another thing. Like, people – when I was trying to, like, trade to people, they'd be like, I'm trying to get back into the first. And I was like, well, I don't have a first, my brother, so I'm literally offering you the best I can.
Who wanted to get back in first? Some come talk to me.
Yeah.
There's one person I have yet to try to make a deal with, and I feel like he and I are about to engage in conversation.
I've also noticed there's one person in our Dynasty League that everyone's always like offer sent to. Have yet to hear anyone making that trade, which lets me know either he's ignoring people or y'all ain't meeting the trade requirements by him. I think he more so just ignoring people, but listen. Yeah,
it's gonna be fun.
I learned my lesson from last offseason by trading first round picks. Now I don't know if there's anyone in this draft that – I mean, there's obviously some good players in this draft, but I don't know if there's any – I'll put it like this. There's no one in this draft class that I was like, I really, 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 really want that person on my team. A lot of good players, but there's no one that I'm really ready to sell the house on.
That's fair.
Now, I will say I'm looking at the top prospects, and I think the prospect I want to take, if he's there at 208 – y'all slipped up. That's all I'm going to say. Y'all slipped up.
We'll see how it goes. Bam, 108. Mike Evans. Well, you don't want Mike Evans. 108. We'll talk. But 108 is on the table to get my hands on Stephon Diggs.
So that's. I'm curious. And then we can – well, I mean, we're already kind of here in the NFL draft. So I guess this last question is kind of a fair transition. Mike Evans, you've also tried to offer him a trade with me. I denied it because I think my wide receiver room is my wide receiver room doesn't need like a Mike Evans type, because I could just say Tyreek Hill is my Mike Evans in terms of his longevity. I know what he's going to bring to the table. He's my veteran receiver in the locker room. So I was trying to go a little bit younger. Bam, though, I'm really curious how 108 – and Mike Evans.
I offered him 110 originally. I am now offering him 108.
Well, Bam, listen, I'm the commissioner. I can't really say anything because I don't want to. But my brother, since we are here talking about the draft, Dynasty draft, let's talk about the actual NFL draft, right? So the NFL draft came and gone, and now we are on a fast track to training camps in late July, preseason in August, and the regular season in September. So, as we think about last week's draft, tell me, what teams impressed you in this draft? And I'm going to challenge you to not say the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, too bad, because boy, oh boy, was I happy. No, a team that is not Philadelphia that made me really excited, Seattle. Seattle, great draft, man. Pete Carroll said, we going back in the time machine.
He said he's bringing back that Legion of Doom.
Yeah, we do. Hey, man. Geno, don't even worry about it. Legion of Boom. Any team that got their quarterback outside of Houston, the Colts got Anthony Richardson at 4. No problem. The Cardinals were big winners. The Cardinals are all set up next year to draft Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison Jr. Cardinals fans, you're in for a rough season, right? Jonathan Gannon's probably going to get fired. But think about the light at the end of the tunnel this time next year. You'll have hope. So, like those teams. You know,
wait, you're saying they're going to fire Jonathan Gannon after 1 year?
Yes. Jonathan Gannon, man, he lied. He made up a story during his press conference about a conversation with the Eagles media that never happened. He got in trouble. he lied and said that he did not know the Cardinals wanted him to be their head coach. But it was, you know, we found out that he actually accepted a phone call from the 49ers after the NFC Championship game to talk about the head coaching job. For those who weren't paying attention, the Eagles and the Cardinals swap picks. Like the Eagles, I think, were at the back of the either the fourth or fifth round, and as punishment, or the Eagles and the Cardinals agree that the Eagles can jump up to like 66 and take that pick from the Cardinals, and the Cardinals will take some late round pick from the Eagles, because Jonathan Gannon lied and said he did not know the Cardinals wanted him to be the head coach. But we found out that they called him after the NFC Championship game to talk about the coaching job. That man, he seems to have a habit of
stretching. That's a crime?
Yeah, that's tampering. You can't talk to a coach who's actively in the playoffs about a coaching position. You can, but you can't get called.
Yo, NFL. Yeah, first off, NFL, that's some weak-ass shit. Listen, there's tampering in every sport. That
can get caught, though.
Yeah, it's true. That's really funny. Because I'm like, what? Yeah, like, fam, he could have been just sitting there taking his shit and got a random call from Arizona and answered it. Now it's the Arizona Cardinals. What was he supposed to do?
Hey, man, I'm not saying it's a good or a bad rule. I'm just saying lie. Make sure everyone is in on the lie.
Why do you think the Cardinals are going to be so quick to pivot from both Jonathan Gannon and Kyler Murray?
Well, if they're picking, so they have Houston's first round pick. I don't think Houston's going to be good, and they have their own first round pick. I've seen a lot of mock drafts that have, you know, the Cardinals having the first and second overall pick. And if the Cardinals are picking top five, I can assume everything has gone to hell with Kyler Murray.
But are we forgetting that he hurt his knee?
He's
going to be out for most of this season.
Listen, if you have the opportunity, if you have the opportunity to draft Caleb Williams, would you do it?
No. If I'm the Cardinals, fuck no, actually. Emphasis on the fuck no. Fam, if you're going to, and I said this last week, if you're the Cardinals and you're thinking about drafting Caleb Williams, well, then you might as well just keep Kyler Murray, because that's the same player, just 3, 4, 5 years older. Literally the same player. Now, amen. If you're the Cardinals and you're thinking maybe taking Marvin Harrison Jr. like early in the draft with Houston's, well, with your first round pick, that makes total sense to me, because that's assuming that DeAndre Hopkins is probably on his way out, or probably in the later stages of his career where, you know, he's like an AJ Green in Cincinnati, right? It's clearly he's still a good receiver, but he may have lost a step. But I don't even think that. I think D-Hop is still pretty good. So I think if they're picking early enough to pick a Marvin Harrison, I think the team overall just isn't where it needs to be in that first year. But in my opinion, if you're going to look at drafting a quarterback prospect like Caleb Williams and you're the Arizona Cardinals, then how is that really an upgrade from Kyler Murray? They are literally the same. I'm not going to say literally. They have very, very, very similar playing styles. Small guys who can run, who can run and pass, and have to move them outside of the pocket for them to be the most effective, because they're small guys and can't really see over the line of scrimmage like that. Respectfully speaking, obviously, you know, small as in to
their height.
Yeah, but man, I don't get that.
I'll say if Caleb Williams' intangibles are off the charts, then that, I think that's where the difference lies, right? We've talked about Kyler having to have the homework clause. We've had people talk about Kyler's inability to lead. Like if you have a Caleb Williams who has the intangibles in your mind, then you could talk yourself into, hey, we can trade Kyler to some team slipping, or some team probably to San Francisco. Like we can trade him for something and move on with Caleb Williams. Trade him to Tennessee. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. I think back to your Seattle point, I hate that I was impressed by their draft. I really hate, because you know why? I came on here a week ago and I said at pick 13, there's one guy that Packers should take. Don't even think about any other guy. There's one guy you take. Jaxon Smith-Njigba. These people took Lucas Van Ness, defensive end, at 13.
Yep.
Jaxon Smith-Njigba fell to 20th, dog. To 20th.
Crazy.
So now you're telling me a playoff team gets to add Jaxon Smith-Njigba to their wide receiver room that includes DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. Are you shitting me, dog?
It's not fair.
Are you shitting me? Like, listen. I was impressed by Seattle. Outside of just not only Jackson Smith and the job, I think they got a lot of quality, good defensive players that I think, like we were kind of saying to begin the show, I definitely can see them trying to improve on their defense, trying to bring their defense back to, you know, about what it was about 10, 11 years ago. Obviously, I think they also took another really, really good corner. I'm forgetting his name off the top of my head, but I think him matching up on the other side.
Witherspoon.
Witherspoon, yep. He was from Illinois, played at Illinois. Yep. Yep. So I think him on the other side of Tariq Woolen is a lockdown corner combination.
Yep.
You know, obviously, you know, if they get some good linebacker play, they're going to be right.
Bobby Wagner is back.
Bobby Wagner is back. Fucking what's his name? The safety.
Jamal Adams.
They'll get Jamal Adams back and fully healthy next year. So. I think Seattle might be in a good spot. I also like the Pittsburgh Steelers and what they did in their draft. I think they went out and were pretty aggressive, but I think they were aggressive in a good way, trying to just build up on depth and talent. There are a couple teams. I think the Patriots, I'm really intrigued to see what they do with some of their draft picks. I think they were trying to ride a fine line between continuing to build their lockdown defense while also trying to get some pieces for Mac Jones. So, maybe their offense starts to look less like a high school offense and more like an NFL offense. So I'm impressed with a few teams. I'm impressed by a few teams. And let's talk about teams that disappointed us in this draft. Oh, those guys up in Wisconsin. Those guys up in fucking Wisconsin. Let me start by saying this. The only part of the Packers draft that I'm really, really disappointed in is their first round pick. Luke Van Ness, first off, if this guy turns out to be another J.J. Watt type, I'm going to be very happy for the team. I'm still going to be upset at the pick, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Because, fam, we could have had Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, and Jackson Smith and Njaba all in the same offense. Now, I will say I do like the tight end that both the tight ends we picked up. Really like the tight end from Oregon State. I think he's going to be really, really, really good. I saw a lot of people say he's probably like one of the faster tight ends in the draft, and they say he's got like really, really good hands. So, you know, if that turns out to be a steal along with Jaden Reed, the wide receiver he took out of Michigan State, then maybe I can understand why they took Lucas Van Ness at 13. Right, they felt like there were some other premium position players. Or other pass catchers, maybe who weren't ranked as high as JSN, that they felt could still contribute in a way. And they felt like, you know, because defensive linemen, I guess defensive linemen are like big booty women. You just cannot have enough of them in your life. You just literally cannot have enough of them in your life. So,
whoa.
That's not true.
I am happily married. I don't know what that life is like. There
you go. Married men always let it say that they're married. What about teams that didn't impress you? Who were they?
A big one, and this might be a little bit of a hard line in the sand, the Texans, like giving up. Here's the thing, right? I feel like the Texans, the Will Anderson pick was the D'Amico Ryans pick, and then the CJ Stroud pick was the organization's pick.
1,000%. 1,000%.
I feel
how many
like
you've seen pick two out of the top three players, like, or pick two in the top three spots. Not often.
Here's my thing about the Texans and what they did. You're not going to be good next year. That pick is going to be really high. And you could have put yourself in a position to potentially get Marvin Harrison Jr. next year. And having Marvin Harrison Jr. to help CJ Stroud is a lot more important than having Will Anderson on the defense. Like that's the potential trade-off. When we get to this time next year and the Texans pick is number three and Arizona gets their hands on, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr., and you don't have a first round. Well, you do have a first round pick. I forgot whose pick they have next year. I believe it's Cleveland. Yeah, it's probably Cleveland's from the Deshaun Watson trade. I mean, Cleveland's going to be better than Houston. I just feel like
there's no guarantees in the NFL, though.
That's true. There's no guarantees, but I think long term planning, right? Marvin Harrison Jr. is more important to CJ Stroud than having Will Anderson coming off the edge. Like Will Anderson isn't JJ Watt. Like Will Anderson isn't Aaron Donald or Miles Garrett. Like he's not one of these, hey, yo, him. That's him as soon as he steps on the field. I wouldn't have done it. I know people were praising it. I really didn't like that move in terms of like team building long term.
So, man, that's an interesting take. I wasn't expecting that take from you. I actually like both of those picks. And I also think I don't think the Texans are going to be as bad as you think. I also think that the Texans are banking on either banking on making a trade during the season with a team that might be looking to pick off one of their better players and try mm-hmm. to steal their first round pick, which I could easily see. Or I could also see the Texans looking at the entire wide receiver class for next year or potential wide receiver class and say, there's out Marvin Harrison Jr. easily. That's the number one wide receiver probably next year. But 2, 3, 4 can't be that far of a drop. Like, I feel like the Texans are probably going to be picking somewhere around like 10, 11, 12 next year. I mean, so I guess what I'm saying is it really a disappointment if the team overall improves?
No. I just think for me, from a team building standpoint, like the Texans, the AFC is so stacked, right? Even the AFC South, right? You got Jacksonville there, Tennessee, okay. Well, Derrick Henry runs all over you anyway, so you're gonna lose Tennessee twice. And then who's the other team in the AFC South? My goodness. Oh, Indy. Anthony Richardson's going to play. I don't think Anthony Richardson should play this year, but he's going to play.
Oh, you've seen the reports. They already put the reports out. This is how I know the Colts already. The Colts brought Gardner Minshew in for no damn reason. Maybe like a day or two after Anthony Richardson was drafted, I already saw a report that said the Colts are planning on Anthony Richardson playing sooner rather than later.
Okay. One last thing I'll say is, shout out to the Atlanta Falcons. Last week, I got on here and I begged that you take Bijan. How fun that offense would be! I think the Falcons are going to win the NFC South. We here. You got me.
Falcons. I don't like that Bijan's wearing number 7. By the way, I just felt
like I don't like that. I don't like that
staple. Listen, I'm gonna say this. You like that pick by the Falcons? I'm very confused by that pick by the Falcons.
Really?
Oh yeah. Yeah,
I mean, Tennessee has Derrick Henry, and now Atlanta has Bijan, same a workhorse.
So my thing is, y'all drafted Tyler Allgeier last year. Yep. He turned out to be a 1,000-yard rusher late in the season. So now y'all bringing in, Bijan, who's probably going to be you're going to try to make him a 3-down back. So what was the point of drafting Tyler Allgeier last year?
I mean, someone better came along.
Is that the hole that the Atlanta Falcons needed to fill at number 8?
That's a big pause moment right there. I think the Falcons said, we have an opportunity to win the NFC South with the most explosive offense in the division. Fuck it, let's go do it. And I'm glad they did.
What offense, though?
You have Bijan, Kyle Pitts, Drake London. You need a wide receiver 3 because Matt Collins right now.
Who's wide receiver 2?
Well, I mean, Kyle Pitts and Jason Kelly or Travis Kelce are perceived to be from the same mold. Yeah, man, I'm with you, Akili. Like, it's just like there are still free agent wide receivers out there that aren't going to be splashy, but are good enough, right? You have like the offense is going to be fun. Like they're telling Desmond Ridder, a dog. We're going to do the same thing the Eagles did with Jalen Hurts. We're going to give you everything you need, and it's up to you.
I must be crazy then, because I'm looking at it, and I'm like, me personally, I think this offense is going to be mad bland. They're going to be a team that tries to run the ball, and then once the team just stacks the box, all right, now they're going to dare Drake London and or Kyle Pitts to beat you. I haven't seen enough out of either of them to think they're going to continuously beat you if you don't double them.
These boys are young. I think the Falcons are going to win that. As we live and breathe right now, May the 2nd, I have the Falcons winning the NFC South. It's so weak, man. Like, Derek Carr is the best quarterback in your division. That division can be got.
But Derek Carr is also on the best team in that division.
Not by much.
I don't know. I guess, you know... I think the Falcons could have went a better direction with that with pick up 108, but they got Bijan. If that's their guy, then That's their guy. But now I'm looking at Tyler Allgeier. Yo, if you got any shares of Tyler Allgeier on your fantasy team, I know you mad. I know you mad.
I mean, there's still time for him to be traded.
But the thing is, I will say this, though. That Bijan Robinson pick wasn't the most head-scratching running back taken in the first round that really threw me out there. Detroit, what in God's name, bro?
The thing about the Detroit pick and Jahmyr Gibbs is that they celebrated as if they got a steal. Dog, he would have been there in the second round.
Yes. Yes.
End of the first, dog.
Like what, am I crazy if I was to say I think Bijan probably would have been there at the beginning of the first two?
You mean like when they picked?
Yeah.
Had the Falcons not picked them? I agree. Yes, if the Falcons had not picked him, because everyone's like, oh, he's going to Philadelphia. He was not going to Philadelphia. Howie Roseman does not draft running backs in the top 10.
Because I don't want to devalue the running back because I think the NFL has done it enough. I'm just saying there are premium positions in the NFL where you know teams are always going to be quick to just draft the best available player. Defensive linemen's one. Quarterbacks is another.
Shout out. Defensive tackles?
Offensive linemen?
Offensive linemen.
Those are positions where, like, if your guy's already gone, then you take the best available player in those positions. Quarterback, tackles, defensive linemen. Running back is not one of them. Respectfully speaking. I don't know.
Hey, before we end the draft stuff, shout out to Chicago for doing business with us. It's been a pleasure. Jalen Carter is an Eagle.
Man, that's a good one. Y'all got him and Nolan Ryan. Some bullshit.
Howie, that's some bullshit.
Howie. My thing about the Eagles is I'm gonna say this: Jalen Hurts and the Jalen Hurts era of the Eagles has to y'all gotta raise a Lombardi in the next two or three.
Yes, the NFC is weak.
I'm not even saying it because of that. I'm saying it because last year y'all's offense was unstoppable because it was hard for people to game plan how to stop A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts and the running game and be able to game plan on how to attack y'all's defense. I think as the years go by, same thing that happened with Tampa. Once Tampa exposed how to beat Patty Mahomes, what folks do? They said, oh, this is the game plan to beat them? Bet. Once I feel like the Chiefs did y'all a disservice in figuring it out, this is how you beat them. I say y'all got two or three years because once one team figures it out, it's a copycat league. This upcoming season, y'all at least one or two other teams outside of your division, because your division teams are just gonna know how to beat you because they play you twice. One or two teams outside of your division are gonna figure out how to beat the Eagles. Then once that happens, whew, now we're talking about something.
Everything we do is to beat Patrick in the Super Bowl. That's all that matters.
Y'all got to get back there.
Everything we do is to beat Patrick in the Super Bowl.
Y'all don't want to see him again. I think
I do want to see him again.
No, y'all don't.
Yes, I do.
I don't think there's a person in that Eagles locker room that wants Patty Mahomes round two in that Super Bowl. Matter of fact, I think everyone in the Eagles locker room is just hoping and praying Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, or Lamar Jackson.
We'll play the Chiefs in the regular season, so we'll see.
Oh, well, I think y'all are going to win that regular season game.
On the field where our pass rushers can actually rush the passer. That's a conversation for another day.
Oh, brother, here they go.
What's next?
It's okay to just say the better team won.
The better team did win. I said that the Tuesday after the Chiefs were the better team. I would just have liked to seen that game on turf that wasn't ice. That's all.
Listen, before we get into our NBA coverage, let's take some time to appreciate the love in the chat. This is 100 episodes strong. We've been getting mad love in the chat. Shout out Akili. Shout out Bam. Shout out Kyle. Thanks for the love on the 100th episode. Akili said, shout out to Howie for saving his DeAndre Swift shares.
Howie heard Joe cry.
Listen, I can only imagine how DeAndre Swift felt. Watching them draft Jahmyr Gibbs, he was probably like, "Are you fucking shitting me? Are you shitting me?" But DeAndre Swift, I'm gonna say this, Matt, respectfully, you low key put yourself in that position.
Low key, yeah, you can't stay healthy.
Because once Jamal Williams came in and was clearly just overtook your job. Now what are we doing?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Like, you saw that coming. I'll also say, as I'm looking through, Akili also said it's a bad pick by Detroit, but he is gifted. Bam says he thinks the Lions wanted Bijan. I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. And Kyle said out of the 14 dynasty leagues that he's in, he ended up with one rookie 101. So he only gets one share of Bijan. So, hey, man, I hope it works out. And you and Akili really think that this Bijan to Atlanta pick makes sense. We'll see.
I love it.
We'll see. Oh, and Akili, I didn't lose the glasses for the anniversary episode. I forgot to take my contacts out. That's usually what I do. On Tuesdays is usually a glasses day for me. I forgot to take my contacts out. So that's why. That is why. NBA time. Are you ready, my brother?
Let's do it.
All right. Well, it is still NBA playoff season, but now we have moved out of the first round, and now we're in the semifinals, a.k.a. now we in. From here on out, it's just premium hoops played at the highest level from here on out. So we're going to start in the East, right? The Heat are up 1-0 after beating the Giannis and the Bucks last week. They're up 1-0 on the Knicks after their game, I believe it was like Saturday or Sunday. Yeah. And they're currently playing right now.
Yep.
Last night, James Harden put on a playoff masterclass for the Sixers to take a 1-0 lead over the Celtics in Boston, which was a big, big win for them. So let me ask you, so far in the Eastern Conference semis, are there any narratives that you want to speak to?
I wish Jimmy Butler wasn't hurt tonight, because we were really going to start pushing these Jimmy Butler narratives, and I was here for it. Not right now. James Harden has to do it again. Now, if James Harden goes out game two and does something similar and they go home up 2-0 on the Celtics, oh, James Harden, playoff Harden, not totally put to bed, but we're getting closer to putting playoff Harden to bed if he goes up 2-0 on the Celtics with another masterclass like he did last night. Shout out to Tyrese Maxey. I don't have anything right now. Right now, we're just still filling each other out. Pause.
My brother, you getting some wild bars off today.
Yeah, it's 100 episodes. We spitting tonight. Right now, the Heat are up on the Knicks without Jimmy Butler. Let me tell you something. If the
Knicks
Heat
don't
make,
do this, do
if
not
the
do
Heat
this,
make
Knicks.
A run to the Eastern Conference Finals and potentially the Finals, dog, Heat culture is going to crucify all of us, because I've always said Heat culture is fraudulent, and it is.
It's like Patriots culture. Everyone was like, "Yo, when Tom Brady leaves, this Patriots school is going to be dead." They came back the next year. They might have made the playoffs, or
but they've been in the gutter since.
But they haven't. They've been on the gutter because of their offense, not their defense. Their defense has kept them in the playoff race for most of the season since Tom Brady has left.
So, that's true.
Do you have any
narratives?
I guess for me, I'm gonna start with Miami and New York. So I thought after the Heat won game one, I was sitting there and I'm like, man, the Heat, I wonder what it is about how they play that really gives people fits. Like what are they doing in the postseason this season that's given Milwaukee fits, is given the New York Knicks fits? It's because they're playing sound quality basketball, and they don't beat themselves often. I think that is what I've seen happen to a lot of playoff teams. I'll go back to the Timberwolves. I can talk about the Phoenix Suns. A lot of these, some of these teams have lost games. Memphis Grizzlies. Some of these teams have lost games because they straight up beat themselves. So I want to applaud the Heat because they're playing sound, really good basketball. Jimmy Butler told us after their play-in game versus Toronto, before they went up to Milwaukee and played game one, he said, "We're a good team. If we play good basketball, I think we have a chance to play or beat anybody." He said it. No one wanted to believe him, but he said it. He went wrong. I'm at a point now, the Heat are leading the NBA postseason in scoring per game. Can you believe that? Can you believe this is a team that stunk offensively? Now you get
Eric
to the
Spoelstra,
and get hooping.
Eric Spoelstra is the best coach.
He's up there. Boston and Philly, the real Eastern Conference Finals, in my opinion.
Yes.
Listen, Boston, you shouldn't win games. I mean, you shouldn't lose games after playing like how y'all did yesterday. You shot 60% from the field, and you still lose the game? You know what that sounds like to me? You beat yourself. And Boston, they've done this two out of the last three games. The game five versus Atlanta in Boston, and game one yesterday in Boston versus the Sixers. Man, they seem like they just beat themselves. That Malcolm Brogdon turnover late in the fourth quarter, dog. I dropped to my knees like Lil Durk in the video, bro.
And I think Jaylen Brown only took like two or three shots in the second half or something like that. Like he needs.
The thing is, watching the game, the Celtics were the better team on the floor against the Sixers last night. They lost the game in the last minute. Akili just said it. They lost the game in the last 45 seconds. Literally, they lost the game in the last 45 seconds. This is my thing about Boston. Top to bottom roster wise, and just watching them play, they are the favorites to win. Like in my opinion, Boston is easily the favorites to win this whole thing. But they gotta lock the fuck in and stay locked the fuck in for 48 minutes, because when they locked in this, I mean, I personally don't think there's a team that can beat them.
I need them to slaughter Joker. So yes, I'm with you.
Well, he's got to make it there. But man, I'm gonna tell you like this. This is why that losing that first game is bigger for Boston than it is for Philly, because what y'all are doing is Joel Embiid's probably not gonna play game two, and they, similarly to how the Heat are treating Jimmy Butler, are probably gonna have a longer layoff until game three back in Philly. So now they're saying we can accept the split now. We can go back to Philly. Joel play game three, and that'll be the first game in Philly since he won the MVP award. So he's already gonna be jacked up. Oh, brother.
MVP and Embiid. Hey, shout out to everyone that got the Vorp Dorks out of here. And this should be his second MVP, but it's okay. It is his first. Congrats,
Joel. I've been seeing a whole lot of about damn time for Joel Embiid, including coming from me. Pause. Yes. It is about damn time, Joel Embiid. I thought you should have won it last year.
Yep.
Listen, we got through halfway in the season, and I just knew this was Joel Embiid's year. And I got more convinced because as you heard other players talk about MVP, a lot of them kept saying, nah, I think Embiid's earned this MVP. Like, he's the MVP of this league. Outside of, you know, Denver fans going to stick by their guy. He had a great season. It goes back to, I think, to what Boogie Cousins was saying in his interview. You give this guy three MVPs in a row, what you're saying is this guy is unequivocally, easily the best player in the league by far, and it's not close. I think his NBA peers just disagree with him.
For me, it was the All-Star draft, and LeBron James, the first pick, said, yo, I want Joel, and Jokic was second to last, and he drafted himself to LeBron's team. That's when I was like, oh, they know.
They know.
His peers know. Hopefully everyone else takes notice, and they did. Congrats, Joel. Yeah, man. I'm so glad to Vorp, man. I don't care about no Vorp. I don't care about no Raptor. I don't care about none of that shit. Joel's MVP.
Now, we'll say this. Who was the last MVP to win the finals that same year?
Ooh, I don't know. Was it Steph? Was it Steph?
His last one, I believe, came in 2016, and we know what happened that year.
Wasn't Giannis.
It hasn't been Joker.
Hasn't been Joker.
It might be Braun.
Maybe Braun.
It might be Braun.
Research. Who was the last person to win regular season MVP and then go on to win the finals?
That'd be a good one. Speaking of Braun, let's shift to the West.
Let's do it.
Let's shift to the West. The Nuggets lead the Suns 2-0 after that beatdown yesterday. And the Lakers and Warriors, Lake Show! I'm sorry, my brother. Your team's not in the playoffs, so I can't.
It's okay. It's okay.
Anything about the Mavs, but the Lakers and the Golden State Warriors begin their series probably at 10 p.m. Eastern. Curry in 2015.
It was Curry.
Curry. Oh, that was right because they did win in 2015.
He didn't win MVP though. He didn't win Finals MVP.
That's what it was. Andre Iguodala won it. Okay. Yes. Thank you, Kyle. Great nugget there. But yeah, the Lakers and the Warriors begin their series at 10 p.m. Eastern time today. I'm really, really excited for this Lakers Warriors matchup. I think last week I was saying I wanted the Warriors Lakers matchup, and I think that was one of my talking points last week. I was like, the league wants the Lakers.
Yes,
and the Warriors.
They do.
Yo, I'm gonna tell everyone right now and clip this. Somebody clip this because I'm gonna come back to this.
You run the social for us. You go.
You're right. I do. In a week and a half, I guarantee there's going to be a report that comes out and says the Lakers-Warriors series is the most watched NBA playoffs series, not outside of the finals, since XYZ. I guarantee it. You know why? Because during the regular season, the Lakers and Warriors always get primetime matchups. Do y'all know why? Because the Lakers and the Warriors have one of the most biggest fan bases. They have the biggest fan draws. And they have two players that each have a player that's just generationally different. Obviously, the Lakers got LeBron. Warriors got Steph. Listen, anytime the Lakers and the Warriors match up, just know the ratings about to go crazy. Y'all heard it here first. You will get a report either from ESPN, Nielsen, ABC, TNT, something. Somebody's going to come out with a report and say the Lakers, this Lakers and Warriors series is going to be one of the best series that we've seen, or a most watched series in a while. So with that, my brother,
yep,
let me tell you about another storyline that I want to speak to in the Western Conference. I'm gonna let you go. Phoenix, y'all made this trade and y'all sent four first round picks. Y'all got Kevin Durant.
Yep.
You sent Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson to the Nets. They got to the Nets and we saw what they can do when given an expanded role. Now, as you look at the Phoenix Suns, you know what everyone's saying? Damn, dog. They got Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and Kevin Durant all playing all them minutes? How? They can't do that. Let me tell you why. This is what happens when you gut your bench, people. This is what happens when you gut your bench. I mean, inside the NBA crew, Kenny said it best. The Phoenix Suns have a better chance of winning this series when they slow this tempo down considerably. Make this a straight up half court game. Because when they try to run with the Nuggets and pick up the pace, oh, the Nuggets are just eating them alive. They're too deep. Pause. They got too much depth. I mean, they can score many, many levels. I'm just looking at the Phoenix Suns, dog. Y'all, listen, y'all need a somewhat healthy Chris Paul from 10 years ago.
Yep.
And y'all need Jesus. Y'all need Jesus to beat this Denver Nuggets team.
And he's retired. His jersey in the tomb in the rafters.
It's on the cross somewhere. Up they got Jesus' jersey up there on the cross. It's up there.
That's the social clip.
what's his number? What's Jesus' number?
Ooh. That's a great question. What number would Jesus wear?
How many days? I'm getting like before he was resurrected for Easter.
Yeah, three, like the number three. I don't know. I'm getting seven vibes from him. 12. There are 12 disciples.
Oh, brother. Three wise men.
Three wise men. Yeah, yeah, definitely three. The Trinity. Yeah. Jesus is wearing three. No doubt.
Oh, brother. Nah, how many? Wait a minute. There's stories in the Bible, right?
Yes, there are lots of stories in the Bible.
Way too many for him to put the number of stories on it. Oh, man. Keely says Jesus wears zero. Yeah, because
no one's above him. Hey!
Nah, he might do the double zeros though.
Yeah, he might be. I think Jesus is a three. I think Jesus is definitely wearing three.
Bam said he got three on the front and 16 on the back. for real, Phoenix, y'all need help, man. This is my thing, right? Denver is looking at it like this. We'll let Devin Booker and Kevin Durant go for 60 between the two of them. Somebody else beat us. That is all Denver is saying. Yo, did you hear the little, apparently, and this is This is what I heard from my sources, so we can credit this under cock sources. I heard from my cock sources that
what?
Nah, you heard me say it. I heard from my cock sources that a member of the Denver Nuggets coaching staff said, "Tough twos ain't gonna beat us."
Yeah, they don't shoot threes.
No. You're not hearing what they're really saying. No, they saying tough twos don't beat us. They basically saying that little dribble shoot or dribble sidestep pass, get the ball back, shoot shit that y'all be doing in Phoenix ain't gonna work against us.
Don't work in the altitude.
Don't work against that altitude. They just say they got too much depth. Too much depth. And what was crazy was I was really excited for this series more than the Lakers and the Warriors. And now this series is going to go five games.
If Phoenix is lucky.
This series is going to go five games. Lakers and Warriors is two teams filled with old men. You know what that tells me? That's a seven-game series.
Yep.
That is a seven-game series. Oh, man.
Can I push a narrative? And we're not going to let you just gloss over saying cock sources.
Like nah, okay, I'm going to let everyone know now. When I don't know the source and I didn't see it from like a credible news source and I just saw it, cock sources. Cock
big,
sources.
Big pause.
I got it from Ballsack Sports.
Big pause. So many pauses.
No, that's a real account though. That's a real.
So many. So if this were around the horn, you'd be muted.
No.
Mute.
Yo, no, they be. Yo, he be muting them with ease too. What you say? So many, no, I don't want to hear that.
I don't like that. Get out of here.
I don't like that. Mute. Let me ask you something. So, yeah, Akili said you're wilding for that cock sources.
Yes, he is, Akili. He is wilding.
So let me ask you something about this Lakers Warriors matchup, right?
Yep. Because
obviously this is a lot of people are excited to see the Lakers versus the Warriors, but a lot of people, especially the basketball savants, are excited to see part five of LeBron versus Steph, right?
Yep.
Obviously, we all know Steph and the Warriors have the edge in like overall record versus LeBron. But I think a lot of people kind of recognize that LeBron's one title versus them. It's a little bit more impressive than their three that they won versus Bron, respectfully. Yep. So I guess what I want to ask you is, how do you see, no matter the result of this series, where do you think this puts Bron and Steph's legacy in terms of matching up versus each other, and where you think this kind of puts them on a legacy thing? Both got four rings.
Yep.
You know?
I think their legacies are cemented no matter what happens. I think this is just a great cherry on top of a low-key great rivalry of the 2010s. I'm just excited to see them go at it. I'm really excited to see Anthony Davis versus Draymond, Looney versus not Anthony Davis and Draymond, and then also Anthony Davis against Looney. I'm really interested to see, especially game seven, seemed like the Warriors in the third quarter got every offensive rebound. I'm just intrigued to see how they're going to match up over a seven-game series.
The Kings.
Is it a?
No, go ahead.
I'm just like, is it a, hey, we'll let Steph get his? Because they really don't have, we're going to put Russell on Steph. Like, who's going to guard Steph? You can put Schroeder on Steph?
They're going to put the Vandalorian on him. They're going to put Jared Vanderbilt on him.
I mean, Or you say, hey, Clay, you beat us, and if you beat us, you just beat us. I'm just really intrigued. Like, I am, I like to go to bed. I like to get my rest, but I am staying up to at least watch the first quarter of the game tonight.
I think they're going to put Austin Reeves on Clay. I think they're going to put Jared Vanderbilt on Steph. And they're going to – listen, so this is my thing. I was watching you watched the Kings and the Warriors, and you saw Kevon Looney just going off for, like,
crazy
20-rebound games, a couple of 20-rebound games. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, hold on. Wait a minute. Kevon Looney, great player, anchor of their team. You're not doing this versus Anthony Davis.
No.
You're not doing this versus Anthony Davis and LeBron. And then we got Vanderbilt. We also got I'm forgetting his name. We got Mo Bamba. Like, the Lakers, unlike the Kings, are a really big team. So that rebounding shit, I think we're going to be able to equal them. So where I think it gets interesting is that we're going to have the size advantage, but they're going to have the shooting advantage.
Yep.
So if they get hot, we're in trouble. But if we clamp up, I'm not going to say it, but I like our chances. I'm also saying this. whoever wins the Lakers versus Warriors series is representing the West in the finals.
Hey, dog.
I'm sorry, Denver.
I want Anthony Davis versus Jokic. That's all I want. I've been asking for that for months. That's all I want.
Oh, and going back to you just brought up a point that I just forgot, and then we can hit the quick hitters. You brought up a good point. I want to look in the camera when I say this.
Okay.
Phoenix, I need y'all to see what the rest of the world is seeing. DeAndre Ayton has no answer for Jokic. Not one. Jokic could literally give DeAndre Ayton the answers to the test. He still wouldn't have the answers to beat him. Y'all got to try something different. There are like two centers that can handle Jokic one-on-one. One just won the MVP. The other plays with LeBron James. Outside of that,
Evan Mobley does okay. My argument against...
Take it back. Nope. Take it back because you do not mean that.
My argument against Jokic is if he plays against a competent big man, he struggles. I didn't say Ayton was a competent big man. There aren't many competent big men in the league.
And there's two. Now there's three if you include Jokic. There's two that play against Jokic. One just won the MVP and the other plays with LeBron.
I'm very excited for that match.
Jokic, listen, you give Jokic some time to game plan against Evan Mobley, he's putting that man in a blend cycle. Man, he will have Evan Mobley wishing that LeBron was back on that team. I promise you.
Can I push a narrative really quickly?
Go ahead.
Luka tried to tell y'all last year that Devin Booker is not him. Jokic about to confirm it. Jamal Murray about to confirm it. Excuse me.
So it's funny because, in my opinion, because Jamal Murray didn't have a good game yesterday, which is funny. Think about this. Kevin Durant had 24-25. Booker had 35. They still lost by like 10 last night.
Yep.
Which goes back to what I was saying about, I think that's what Denver's game plan is. Between Booker and KD, y'all two can get 60 together. The rest of y'all got to beat us. CP3, we're looking at you. You got to beat us. DeAndre Ayton, you got to beat us. And then, I'm going to take it a step further. The Denver Nuggets is looking at the rest of that roster. They're picking up that motherfucking roster just like this. Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, DeAndre Ayton, Chris Paul, Wainwright. Who? Campaign, who? Get these Knicks the fuck out of here. What? That's what they're saying. Fam, the Denver Nuggets, listen. They don't take anyone that's not named Kevin Durant and Devin Booker seriously in Denver. And that's my opinion.
And they
should. I'm watching the game, dog. They're not afraid of anybody that's not Kevin Durant and Devin Booker.
Hey, all I know is Devin Booker going to be sent home with another embarrassing playoff loss. But
and what was funny is this time it's not really his fault because he been hooping.
Yeah.
Him and KD have been hooping. The rest of their team, listen, Monty, I want to see Monty Williams at some point win a championship. Dude's a great dude.
He is.
Great coach. Anytime I hear him talk, I'm like, yo, I'd want to play for that guy. So I don't think this is going to be y'all's year. But, hey, we could be in a week's time. This thing could be knotted up at 2-2 going to game 5 in Denver. This is a whole different story now.
But I was going to say, people of Phoenix, at least you have the Mercury, but they're not going to be good this year either, so I ain't got nothing for you. Cardinals going to be trash. Sorry.
That's why you got to win championships when you got that window, because you're never guaranteed. You're never guaranteed. All right, you ready to get into our quick hitter? Oh, brother. Wait, before you get to the quick hitters, I got to talk about a few comments that I saw. Bam said, I'm interested in seeing more Draymond versus Poole drama.
Yes.
Yo, do you remember the Warriors? It literally just dawned on me before we start the pod. You remember the Warriors gave Jordan Poole a fat contract. A contract so fat that he actually got punched in the chin for talking a little bit too spicy because of that contract.
You know? And that, did you see the video of like Draymond's trying to say something to him, he like pushes him off? Good for you, Jordan. I wouldn't want to talk to a man who punched me in the face, who sucker punched me either.
He ain't sucker punching. He stood right in front of you.
Nah, that was a sucker punch.
Nah, he stood. Well, What they say?
You don't expect
how to squabble.
You don't expect that from a teammate. No one saw that coming.
Yeah, what they say? What did referee tell both boxers in a boxing ring? Keep your hands up at all times. Defend yourself. You gotta defend yourself.
But you know you're going into a fight.
Yeah, but but that's the thing. If you're talking some shit to somebody, if you and somebody else are talking some shit back and forth, you in the back of your mind should be thinking, what if this goes AWOL? You should at least just have that one. Like, this shit pop off, funny. And if you see somebody kind of inching a little bit closer to, well, you got to.
That's the thing.
You gotta be ready for it. Listen, Jordan Poole did not play well that first series. If they're gonna be successful versus the Lakers, Jordan Poole has to play a lot better than he did. He be coming down the lane all out of control, careless turnovers. Jordan, you gotta clean that up, brother.
You know what's gonna be the difference? Ain't no baddies in Sacramento. There's gonna be lots of baddies in LA and San Francisco. We know how Jordan Poole play when the baddies on courtside. Hey. We're going to get some master classes from Jordan.
And while you bring up Sacramento and L.A., I need a lot of you basketball fans, stop fucking complaining about the scheduling of the Western Conference semifinals. Let me tell y'all a couple things. One, the NBA has to start conference finals by a certain date because they're contractually obligated by the TV networks that these are aired on. They're also contractually obligated to start the NBA finals on a particular date because ABC has those specific periods of time blocked off for them. Start by saying that. Second, Sacramento and San Francisco are maybe like no more than maybe a 2 or 3 hour drive between each other, if that. So how long do you think the flight is between San Francisco and Sacramento?
30 minutes.
If that. So it makes sense why some of those games were a little bit closer versus the Lakers, who are having to travel to Memphis, Tennessee.
Still doesn't make sense to me. Granted, they were in Vancouver, and then they moved to Memphis. But it's no reason why Memphis should be in the Western Conference and Chicago is in the East. That makes zero sense.
Exactly. Now, my next point about this. If Sacramento and San Francisco is maybe like a 30-minute to an hour-long plane ride, then you can only imagine that the five-hour drive from the Bay to L.A. is probably like a one-and-a-half, two-hour flight?
Something like that.
Okay. I don't know how many of y'all have flown before, but a two-hour flight, you can do that in your sleep. You can do that in your sleep. The NBA is not giving professional athletes 2 or 3 days like that just because, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. They telling these boys, go handle your business. Go handle your business. So Bam asks, if it's so close, why couldn't Draymond go watch LeBron break the scoring record?
Because Steph said, hey, man, that's the enemy.
And that was also in the regular season in February. They could have been on a road trip, if they were at home, it's different.
Steph said, "Hey, man, it's already in your mouth. Don't put it too far in your mouth. Chill out, fam."
Hey, yo. You can listen.
You don't get to say you get your cock sources and then ayo me.
Hey, listen, I'm shout out to my cock sources out here. Shout out to my cock sources because I'm going to keep spreading.
Come get your boy.
All right, you ready to hit our quick hitter section? Because we got some funny ones in here, so I know we about to laugh like shit. Let's start out with something serious, though. So, Giannis, after the Bucks lost to the Heat in 5 games, he gave a really, really impassionate speech about there being no such thing as failures in sports, that there's no such thing, right? And this speech made waves around the internet. And there are basically two ways of looking at it. There are the people who are like, I see what Giannis is saying. That is tough. I like that. Like, that makes a lot of sense. And there are a lot of people that were saying, Jordan and Kobe would never say some bullshit like that. Never, which is a lie, because Kobe kind of said something similar. But they basically said the same thing. So, I want to ask you, is this a big deal or no deal, Giannis' speech?
It is both, and I'll say Giannis is both right and wrong relative to expectations. The one seed, the best record in the NBA, who are championship favorites, losing in the first round, that is a failure. And in regards to what Giannis is saying about looking at the bigger picture and adding some perspective, he is correct. Like, he is saying something, especially someone with Giannis's background, right? You can say the same thing for Jimmy Butler, someone who has had a hard life, who has worked hard, and now they have more money than they'll ever spend, and they don't have to worry about anything financial ever again. It'll never be a failure, like, in his eyes. But in regards to expectations, yeah, dog. You lost to the 8 seed with their second best player breaking his hand. The only game that your team won is when you were hurt. Every time you were on the floor, you lost to the Heat. Dog, that is a failure.
Man, I'm on the opposite. I don't think this is a big deal. I think,
like, you play to win.
You do play to win. And there's no basketball player, there's no professional, there's no athlete in general who plays their sport to lose.
Correct.
But every athlete also knows, no matter if you are the favorite to win it or you are the biggest underdog to win it, there's always only going to be
correct
one champion. So, in the grand scheme, oh, thank you, Siri. So, in the grand scheme of the season, yeah, it's a little disappointing they didn't reach their ultimate goal. But I'm with Giannis. It's hard for me to consider this a failure, because really? I look at it like this. Yes. Technically, yes, they should have won this year. They were the favorites. They had a better team, but there are a lot of circumstances that happened, right? A lot of things happened. Sometimes a team just has you figured out. They may not be the better team, but they know how to beat you.
That's true. Like, Jimmy Butler willed that team to victory. That's all that was.
They Jimmy were not the better will. Team. They just had the better game plan to beat you. So with Giannis, why I agree with Giannis is, yo, it's clear that when Miami and Milwaukee match up, the winner of that matchup is usually or likely the favorite to go all the way because of how they play and how they're constructed. Now, this year they have the Celtics in mind, which I think, again, is the favorite. But I just feel like if you don't go back to the drawing board and think of, yo, they beat us X. They beat us by doing X and Y and Z, and you don't try to improve on that. That's where real, to me, that's real success. Because, yo, we've seen teams that completely luck up and win championships. Things just went their way, and they capitalized on it, and they won. Nobody tells them you don't deserve. You didn't deserve to win that. You're shocked. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't like that. That's just me, though. That's just me. But, like, man,
listen, all Giannis has to do is hit his free throws.
That's like, it. And to wrap this point up, what he said about Kobe and Jordan, or Jordan specifically, like, how do people not? To me, that's what I was just like, yo, that makes sense. Michael Jordan won 6 rings, 6-0 in finals, right? That's why that's the big talking point when people talk about greatest of all time. A lot of these people fail to realize my man was getting sledded out in them early rounds to the bad boy Pistons. And what he had to do, he had to go back to the drawing board. Yo, we got to figure out a way. We can't keep losing to these guys. And I think that's what the Bucks got to do. They got to take this and just be like, listen, it is clear. We can the Bucks have the roster to match up very well with Philly and Boston. Personnel-wise, playstyle-wise, game plan-wise, they do not have the infrastructure to be able to beat Miami consistently. And I think that is where they have to learn and grow from this. So I'm with Giannis. Now let's get to the funnies.
Yes.
This next one was so funny. I crossed out the original line we were getting ready to talk about. And I said, no, this is even funnier. Earlier today, Shams came out with a report that the Memphis Grizzlies told Dylan Brooks that under no circumstances will he be brought back by the Memphis Grizzlies next year. Is this a big deal or is this no deal?
Kids, let this be a lesson in your professional life. Do not write checks that your ass cannot cash. On a certain level, I feel bad for Dylan. It's the fact that the team that, yo, you're not coming back no matter what. We don't care. You are out of here. Like, that's low-key disrespectful, and I feel like that's coming from someone else on the team. I will not say his name, but it rhymes with Stark Florent. It sounds like it's coming from someone else. Like, I've never seen an NBA team in public say, a dog, even like the season they're sending eats hasn't been done for a week. And like, yo, you never, nah, doesn't matter. You're not coming back. That's mad disrespectful. And I feel like it's coming from somewhere else in the organization.
I'm with you. This is a big deal. Fam. I'm going to be on. I saw the original tweet from Shams and I had to click on the profile because I said, there's no way Shams actually tweeted this.
Yes.
And so when I found out that was actually Shams, bro, I sat back. I said, an NBA team told an NBA player, dog, we will take the crackhead outside of the 7-Eleven with a hookah and a black and mild before we bring back you, Dylan Brooks.
Like,
so then disrespect. I saw Rob Perez tweet some of the funniest shit I have seen. He said the Memphis Grizzlies did the thing where they did the thing like in movie shows or in movies or in TV shows where like they'll just replace a character with,
yes,
without the dramatic ending. They'll just straight up replace them and just don't even mention him. So then I started looking through this thread. Oh, brother. The Memphis Grizzlies hit Dylan Brooks with the Aunt Viv treatment.
Oh, what's the Family Matters? It was Family Matters. The kid goes upstairs and never comes back down again for the series. Like, for those of you who watch Family Matters, there's a...
Oh, brother. I know who you're talking about. I don't remember the kid.
He went upstairs and never came back.
This brings me back to Claire and My Wife and Kids. This brings me back to the one dude in Game of Thrones that really liked Khaleesi. I can't remember his name, but y'all know who I'm talking about. This brings me back to Maggie Gyllenhaal in The Dark Knight.
That tweet about Maggie Gyllenhaal will always make me laugh.
They told this man under no circumstance. Let me tell you something, Dylan Brooks. This tells me Draymond was right.
Ooh.
Y'all remember that that rant where Draymond Green killed, because this was after Dylan Brooks had basically said they like him over there because he plays defense, the X's and O's, yada yada, that shit. Draymond Green responded, they was like, Draymond Green basically said, yo, the reason why the Memphis Grizzlies will never win is because they depend on you to help them win. He said the next step happens when you're not there. That's when the next step happens for the Memphis Grizzlies.
And Ja heard that and said, yeah.
Yeah, you're not right.
Get him out of here, guys.
Yo, Dylan Brooks, don't ever tell a man, I don't respect you unless you give me 40. Because he came back the next game and gave you 20 and 20. And then y'all lost by 40 in game 6.
The script writers in their bag. Also, Shannon Sharp, my brother, never talk about dipping another man in honey ever again.
Huh?
You didn't see the Twitter comment on Instagram? I'll send it to you. I'll send it to you.
I'm going to let Jesus take the wheel on that one. Dipping a man in honey? Where does your cock sources get that information from?
Whoa! Whoa!
Oh, man. Okay, since we're here on the funnies, let's go back to the NFL draft, because here's another funny one that had me laughing. Last week, Will Levis was sitting in that draft room. After that, on day one of that draft, waiting for his name to be called. He was so confident the Minnesota Vikings were going to select him that first round, and he just sat there. He sat there in that green room with his girl, and they waited, and they waited, and they waited. He got drafted on day two. Yep. But my question to you is, there was likely some difficult conversations between night one and before day two of the NFL draft. Do you think this is a big deal or no deal for Will Levis?
Big deal. Started to feel bad for him. somebody lied to him. Someone told him something that was not true. But for me, his girlfriend, and we talked about this during the draft, his girlfriend thought real long and hard about, should I stay with this man right now? Because her eyes were wandering. Like, they kept going back. She was looking at everybody in that green room but him. Anthony Richardson, watch yourself, my dude. Ignore that DM. That ain't nothing but trouble. I promise you.
Let's just call it what it is. Well, I hope my brother. No, let me say this. Will Levis, I got one word for you. Prenuptial. I hope you have one in place, brother. Because let me tell you something.
She not going to stick around long enough to
say. And nah, brother, she out of there. She got you.
She got you. She thought she had a top 10 pick. We going to be living good.
Because Levis, let me tell you something about ladies, my brother. Especially ladies that are dating future NFL prospects. She was hitting all her friends with that, my man talk. Oh, my man. I can't wait for my man. We're about to be looking at houses in Minneapolis. My man. She sit next to him. Pick one. Yeah, pick one. Bryce Young. Expected. Pick two.
CJ. Expected. Okay.
Expected. She saw pick four. Oh, Anthony Richardson. Okay. She starts seeing some of these other ones, and she's tapping Will. Hey, your time up next. You look, your time
straight. Lions on the clock, baby.
Lions on the clock.
Minnesota on the clock, baby. Tennessee on the clock, baby.
Yeah, she was like, all right. Like, she got down to about 20, 25. She was like, oh, she's probably looking at Will Levis like, nah, some of these teams don't even need quarterbacks. What the fuck's going on?
Dog, like when Tampa passed on him, she was like, listen.
When Tampa passed on him, she was looking at him like LeBron was looking at Kyrie on that bench, like how D-Wade was looking at LeBron on that bench.
He dropped past Tampa Bay, and she sent a IG DM to Jalen Carter. Was like, so I want to come to Philly. Can you show me around?
No, I'm gonna go one step further. She saw where Will Levis fell. She had to go back to her DMs. And she was like, yo, I know I got some Kentucky basketball players in the judges. This week. This motherfucker week.
Hey, Tyrese, I used to hang out with Tyrese Maxey. What are you doing?
Will Levis, prenuptial, my brother. You gonna need it. You go need it, brother. She saw Anthony Richardson walk by, and she was like,
damn, they really are built different.
I know she was like, damn. What is the weather like in Indianapolis around this? Oh, they play in a dome, too?
Oh, I can do that. Hey, but now she in Tennessee.
Brother. Oh, brother. All right. Lamar Jackson is now the highest paid player in the league. Let me say it again. Lamar Jackson is now the highest paid player in the league. So this is a trend. Black quarterbacks, they told us at one point we could not play the position well and at a high level. And now I believe two of the top three highest paid quarterbacks are black quarterbacks, or actually the top three.
No, it's Lamar, Hurts, Aaron Rodgers.
And then Deshaun somewhere in that top. Yeah. Is it a big deal or no deal?
Oh, big deal.
Big deal.
Just the history of it. Like you said, right? Can't play the position. Mobile quarterbacks will never be
successful. Tried to turn him into a wide receiver.
Yeah, he should play a wide receiver. He should have got an agent. And I was in that group saying he should have got an agent. He defied. He beat all that. He got his money. I'm very happy for Lamar.
Playing in a system that wants to run the ball.
And then playing in finally a front office that's decided to get him some weapons and go out and draft premium resources into getting him weapons. I'm excited for Baltimore. I'm excited for this offense. I'm excited to see Lamar Jackson flourish. The AFC just got a lot better, as if it could get any better, but like it's a big deal.
Yeah, no, this is a huge deal. Major congrats to Lamar. I think this is very well deserved. I think when you look at what Lamar brings, not only just on the field, but off the field, right? His leadership, he doesn't really get in a lot of trouble. He's everything that you would want in a starting quarterback in this league. And I just want to commend him again, because Listen, man, it's hard to get paid in the NFL. It's hard to get a second contract in the NFL. Lamar Jackson just got both. And they told and they tried to tell him that he could not be an NFL quarterback. And not only that, shout out to the Ravens, because now it makes sense why y'all went out and signed Odell. Makes sense why y'all went and drafted Zay Flowers. Rashad Bateman, I'm going to be honest with you. Your front office don't like you, brother. Your time is coming to a short end. They thinking of ways to get you up out of there. You got one more season, though, but Rashad Bateman, they trying to get you up out of there, dog. I'm with you. I'm excited to see where Baltimore goes next year. As someone who has Lamar Jackson as his dynasty quarterback, man, I'm hype. I'm really, really hype. I think this is going to be really, really good. You know, I think this not only helps my Lamar Jackson shares, also helps my Mark Andrews share. So now I'm looking back on that trade I made with you last season, and I'm like, all right, well, this makes sense. I mean, let's run it back. So, man, shout out to Lamar. NHL playoffs.
Yeah, man. Where's Kyle at? Kyle talked about the Maple Leafs playing earlier.
Yeah, he said, what did he say? I think I saw it.
He said that
the Toronto Maple Leafs are playing in the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs for the first time in 18 years, and I'm here watching the show. Of course, Kyle, we always appreciate, we always love you, my brother. Yeah, man, I mean, I was able to catch a couple of the NHL playoff games over the last week. I had a couple thoughts. Let's start back in Boston. If everyone was talking shit about the 2016 Golden State Warriors or the 2007 Patriots or the Milwaukee Bucks from this year, you're going to have to extend some of that slander to the Boston Bruins. If that's what this is about, they set a record for most wins in an NHL season to get bounced first round game 7. Now, I will say, after doing some research, I found out that the Florida Panthers were like one of two teams that actually gave the Boston Bruins fits during the regular season. So, similarly to my point with Milwaukee and Miami, the Bruins are the better team than the Panthers. The Panthers just have the better game plan against you than other teams do.
Yep. I will say, I watched that game from the third period in overtime, and it's been a long time since I had that much fun.
Oh, yeah, it was like, so much
fun. It was so much fun. I actually tweeted that I was watching hockey and how much fun it was. On here we have you have Seattle up next. Yo, dog, those are the coolest uniforms I've ever seen.
Yep.
Like, I would buy a Seattle Kraken jersey.
Well, they did defeat the defending Stanley Cup champions. That was my second talking point. So, which I also believe that series went to 7, too. It did.
That was a game. So, I believe that was a game 7, too.
Listen, that's another set of defending champions that had to go to 7 games. We saw one defending champion win their game in the Golden State Warriors. Colorado, it just be like that sometimes. Now, let me ask you something. Do you think the Colorado Avalanche look at their season like a failure?
I don't know. That's a good question. I would leave that to Kyle. But yeah, I mean, again, like, I get Giannis's point, but like, if you go ask the Bruins right now, was the season a failure? Yeah,
I think they're looking at it. I think it's the verbiage that throws me off. A disappointment, I can agree with. A failure, no. I can't say failure because you accomplished something.
Relevant to expectations, getting bounced in the first round when you are the favorite to win it all.
And that's why I would think that's more disappointment than failure.
Nah, that's a failure. I feel like that's a failure. You didn't lose like in the conference finals in 7, right? Like, okay, that is an opponent that is on your level, theoretically.
But, so this is my thing. All the teams that make the playoffs are good teams. That's why they make the playoffs, right?
Yeah, but let's not forget, so the Heat were the 7 seed. They lost to the Hawks, and then they were down double digits to Toronto. Like, if you're the Bucks, you just lost to a team that was 5 minutes away from not making the playoffs.
That's true. Fair enough. And then the Rangers and the Devils had a game 7 yesterday, and I believe the New Jersey Devils won that game.
So much fun, man. Like,
playoff hockey is so fun. I'm not going to lie. Playoff hockey is. I will say this. How the hell do y'all, like, through and through hockey fans, watch hockey and can keep up with where the puck is going, dog?
I just be I had watching. So much trouble.
I'd be just watching. I'd be like, what? No, it's over there. No, I see it.
How do you know when they score? For me, it's like, oh, it's good. Like the announcers are right on a goal. And I was like, how do you know it's a goal?
Yo, bro, they've probably been watching so much hockey, they can just tell. They can tell. Also, I ain't going to hold you. I was watching hockey. I saw a few of them hockey fights, dog. I was like an old uncle at a fight. I was in that bit like, nah, but you got to, yeah, you ain't hitting them with it. You just put it like, yeah, you ain't getting them. Get them, yeah.
Any team that wants to learn, any hockey team that wants to learn how to properly fight on the ice, call Los, and he'll hire him as a coach. He's your fighting coordinator, fighting specialist.
I'll show you what to do. What do you think will happen if the NFL allowed more Courtland Finnegan, Andre Johnson-esque fights during games?
Here's the thing about fighting in the NFL. You're wearing a helmet.
Exactly. That's why
would you want to punch a helmet? That's always my question. Why you want to fight it? Why you want to punch a helmet?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, imagine if the NFL just said, you know what? If y'all dumb enough to punch another grown man with a helmet on, there's no punishment. Go ahead. You are going to punish yourself way more than whatever these fines may happen. Go ahead and do it.
Shatter your hand. Who cares?
Yeah, shatter your hand. Bam said we're in the work from home special flannel PJs. Bam, these aren't PJs, my friend. These are Jordan joggers. Holiday themed. Come on, I rep the brand. I gotta rep the brand.
Okay. Excuse us.
All right. So not only was there an NFL draft last week, but there was a WWE draft
last week
as well. And the other huge announcement that came last week was that there is now a new World Heavyweight Championship belt.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on both on the draft and or the World Heavyweight Championship belt that Triple H introduced?
Draft was anything special. I love that Rhea Ripley was the first pick. For me, there doesn't need to be another belt. Someone needs to beat Roman Reigns. Like now, I feel like that takes away. And I know Roman has negotiated in his contract that he doesn't have to show up to Raw and SmackDown as much. He doesn't have to defend his titles as much. And they have to do something to intrigue some sort of interest on one of the brands. Seth Rollins is probably going to win it. I'm cool with that. For me, it takes the allure out of Roman being how can you have an undisputed champion and then have a heavyweight champion, right? That to me, that's the same thing.
Yeah, I think. So when I saw the announcement of the World Heavyweight Championship belt, I thought about it from a business perspective. I think the WWE is looking at AEW because AEW has a lot of belts.
Yes, they do.
And I think they were looking at it and they were probably saying, we don't need to have as many belts, but we can probably introduce a few more. In my opinion, this World Heavyweight Championship belt, I think is going to be the equivalent of remember when they used to have the TV champion?
That's what I was about to say. It's the TV title.
Yeah.
With lipstick.
Yeah. But do you remember how fun those TV championship
matches? Yeah, it's fun. I just wouldn't have called it the World Heavyweight Championship because that has a lot of weight to it in regards to the history of the World Heavyweight Championship. The special thing about Roman is he has both belts from both shows. That's what makes him special. And now you're introducing another belt and that kind of dilutes. And now Roman is on SmackDown only. Yep. So are they going to just make one belt? Is he walking around with a red belt and a blue belt? What does that look like?
Man, I'm curious to see. I think, honestly, I think when it comes to his defenses, I still think that's going to be cross-brand promotional. He's just too big. There's too many.
But now he got drafted to SmackDown. Like he's on SmackDown exclusively.
Wasn't he on SmackDown exclusively?
No, as the Undisputed, he can go to whatever show you want because he has both belts. But like, so if he loses, you know, the Raw belt, so Raw's going to have a Raw champion and then the World Heavyweight Champion?
No, I think the champion, I think Roman's going to remain the champion on SmackDown, which probably means he's going to have this belt for another year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's going to cross 1,000 days.
But I think when you think of the shows, each has to have the equivalent. So there is no equivalent to Roman's belt, but you got to make the next most important belt, which I believe now is this World Heavyweight Championship on the men's side. You got to put that on Raw, which I fully expected.
But now
think about like each show. So now Raw has Gunther and the Intercontinental Championship. SmackDown now has the United States Championship. SmackDown's also putting a bigger emphasis on the tag team division, whereas I think
Raw's
putting emphasis on the women's division.
Yeah. It just needs another name. Like world heavyweight champion, like that means something. Like Triple H was the World Heavyweight Champion, Stone Cold.
But I think that's why they switched up the belt, though. Because if you bring back the World Heavyweight Championship, there's only one belt that every wrestling fan in mind has. And it's, my opinion, the second prettiest belt ever.
Oh, the wing?
I'm talking about the big one. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the one Triple H had.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, that's probably the second prettiest belt behind the John Cena spinner belt. Still the best.
No,
it's still the best.
The winged eagle's the best. My question to that is, so what happens when Roman goes after that belt? Because he has to.
But you saw them foreshadowing that, right?
Right, like he has to. Like, that's probably WrestleMania next year. Seth and Roman.
I think that's more of a SummerSlam thing.
You think? You can write this story for a long time. Like, yeah. Seth has to win it. Seth has to defend it long enough, not to be credible, but to add something to it. And now we're talking Royal Rumble. They cross paths, and we're talking like SummerSlam is going to be Seth versus, I'm trying to, maybe like a Solo, or maybe someone on Raw, like maybe a Gunther. I don't know. Like SummerSlam has to be Seth and the second biggest star on Raw. And then we can start building. Because the bloodline,
then you would have to imagine if Seth wins it at like a SummerSlam Survivor Series, it'll be Seth versus Roman, just a champion versus champion sort of fight, no belt on the line.
Nah, I can't. Yeah. If those two go at it, it has to be the highest stakes. Like, so the rest of the year, the bloodline is going to crumble. Like, that's SummerSlam, right? The bloodline story ends at SummerSlam. Seth beats the second biggest star on Raw SummerSlam. We make it to the rest of the year. Royal Rumble, we can start planting the seeds of champion versus champion for all the marbles.
That's my thing. I don't know if Triple H wants to. I don't think one person.
He doesn't want to, but if he wants to tell a good story, that's the story you tell.
But I also don't get how you would even book that.
Oh.
The Universal Championship, that's two belts in one, and then there's the World Heavyweight Championship.
Well, and that goes back to what we were talking about earlier, right? Like, so if Seth beat Roman at WrestleMania, theoretically, would he get the red belt from Roman? Like, what does that look like? So now Seth has the Raw Championship and the World Heavyweight Championship. So why doesn't that make him the undisputed champion, right? There are two. You can only have two belts, and we have three right now. We got to get rid of one of them.
No, I think you're looking at those two belts of Roman's as two championships, but the way they look at it is that is one belt that in their mind, that's one belt, but right. You just get the benefit of wearing both, but that's one belt in their eyes.
They need to merge it. They need to have, because three belts, even if their mind, it's one, three tangible belts. That's not it. Like, you need two. Yeah. Like, you need two.
Or if you have two though, you can do what they're doing and you can just ensure that when Roman defends his belt, it's never for just one. Because if he loses one, that monks up everything.
That's true.
So it always has to be defended by both.
That's true.
And I think that's what they're doing. Which, to me, I think that's fly. That means your best champion really has two belts, and your second best champion on your flagship show is just one belt.
When I do put it I like that. Yes.
Seth versus Roman collision, though. In all honesty. All right, I guess it's the ISO on me. Last thing, and then we can get up out of here.
Go for it.
Azerbaijan Grand Prix Formula One. All right, so it actually was last weekend this time. I know last show I got it wrong. It was this last weekend. It was the first sprint of the Formula One season. For those who don't know, sprint weekends are just a different format. So there's still the Grand Prix, which was Sunday, which is the long 50-something laps. The sprint is like a shorter version of the Grand Prix. So it's only like 17, 18 laps around. And I think you have to use a used set of like soft tires, obviously, you got to use soft tires. There's certain tire restrictions on the sprint races. Either way, it was a good weekend. Good weekend for Red Bull. Again, I say Red Bull has built a fucking rocket and the rest of the grid just has to catch up. They have no answer. This is like if this is like Red Bull's car is essentially like if you had a starting lineup of Steph Curry, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, Tim Duncan, and Shaq.
Jesus.
That is what that car is like. It is unfair and it is unbelievable. Sergio Perez, aka Checo Perez, won both the sprint and the Grand Prix, which is big for him because now he is right in the thick of a driver's championship battle with his own teammate, the defending champion, Max Verstappen, aka Red Bull is running away with the constructor championship. The only driver on the grid that ever stands a chance, like that has stood a chance so far, is Charles Leclerc from Ferrari. Ferrari are like the Los Angeles Chargers. They should be good, but you just know that if something could go wrong, it's going to go wrong. Oof. But when it goes right, they always have a fighting chance. And I'm just looking at Mercedes, fam. Mercedes is just like that old head on the block that's still good enough to give you 15 coming off the – like he's still good enough to give you 15, but not in their prime to give you 25 like they used to. That's what – Mercedes is Chris Paul. Okay. Mercedes is Chris Paul right now. Like, okay. Still serviceable, still a really good team, but they're just not where they were. And it's tough, man. You know, I think Sir Lewis and George had the best outcomes they could have had, but man, Red Bull is so far ahead of the field. I don't know, man. We got some work to do. But I do think Mercedes is closer to Ferrari than Ferrari is to Red Bull.
Okay.
So I think once we, you know, hopefully the upgrades come in. I think they're saying the next big upgrade for Mercedes car will come at Baku. So not this upcoming weekend in Miami, actually, which is the second ever Miami Grand Prix. I don't know, man.
How can we watch this since it's Miami?
Oh, this is going to be on ESPN. All these races are on ESPN.
Okay.
If you're living in the U.S., all of them are on ESPN. It's just where they are in the world when they're racing will really depend on where and when you watch it. For example, I'm on the West Coast, as you know. The Azerbaijan Grand Prix started at 4 a.m. my time.
Okay.
I had to roll over in bed crusty eyes and turn it on. But like when they go to like Europe, oh man, bro, I gotta wake up just as early. But then like when they go to like fucking Japan or Singapore or some of these other countries, I just gotta stay up late to watch it.
Yeah.
So just depends on where they that's what I think. That's honestly, to me, that's one of the biggest draws for me to the sport. Because they're all over the world. So if you really want to watch it, you're gonna find a way to watch it. So man, tell them where they can find the podcast at, man. Where's it brought to from? 100 episodes.
100 Yo. Things.
Danny, I'm going to say one last thing, and I'm going to let you go.
Okay.
I just want to continue to not only thank all the incredible fans who show up week in and week out, show us love on social. I want to thank my man, Danny Ocean, man. I remember, you know, when you came to me with the idea of us doing a podcast, doing something on a weekly basis. You have the opportunity. I just want to say I appreciate you extending the hand to want a partner. And man, it's a pleasure and it's a blessing to be here with you every Tuesday. You my dog. You know that though. We've been cool for a while, but man, it's always amazing. I love our times on Tuesday and I always look forward to it. So I just want to make sure I said that to you, my brother.
And vice versa. You could have told me no, you could have said fuck off. But you didn't, and this has been fun. It's been a great journey. I'm looking forward to the next 100. Special shout out to a few people. Jeff, for extending the opportunity. Jeff came to me and was like, hey, you want to do something? I was like, absolutely. And then Kyle has been rocking with us since day one.
Day one.
Kyle has been researched since day one. So Kyle, thank you very much. Everyone else that's been joining in, Bam, Keely, our weekly contributors, thank you all for showing us love. It means the world to me. I'm sure it means the world to D that that y'all do. Like, it's a Tuesday night. You could be doing anything, right?
Yep.
But you guys consistently pull up. You consistently download and listen to the show. So it means the world to both of us. So thanks to everyone involved.
And then for this next 100, we promise you guys, we'll bring some guests on. We'll
promise. I know I feel like we say that like every milestone. It was like 25, we're bringing more guests. 50, we're bringing more guests. 75, we're bringing more guests.
Yeah,
we promise 100.
Tuesday, this next 100, we're gonna do better. And for any of you guys that are weekly contributors, if you're ever interested in joining Danny and I for a Tuesday, never ever be afraid to send us a DM and just be like, hey, you guys have any open slots? Because we'll find a date to have you guys on.
We'll even let you speak on something that's close to your heart. Like if you want to go on a rant,
please
go for it. Please do.
Yeah, please do. Oh man. Oh, I got a quick speak to the cinema. This is really quick. Air, for anyone who hasn't seen it, great movie.
Go see it. My wife and I saw it 3 weeks ago. I bought Shoe Dog because of the movie, and I'm going to read Shoe Dog after I'm done with this book.
It's a good movie. I also like how Michael Jordan was barely ever in that movie.
That's the best part. That's the best part.
Yeah, really good movie. I left that theater yesterday very inspired for my day job.
Yeah. Shout out Chris Tucker, too.
You
met Chris Tucker?
No, I didn't meet Chris Tucker, but the guy that Chris Tucker played, Howard White, I've met him before. Yes. When I was out here back in 2017, I met Howard White. He was actually really, really nice. He still works at the company. Really, really nice guy. He said I was raised from a great family, and I also think he's from Virginia, by the way. Virginia, North Carolina. Yeah, he's from Virginia, North Carolina.
Shut up. Damn, that's crazy.
Yep.
All right. So guys, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram, speakonit_pod. You can always shoot us an email at speakonitpod14@gmail.com. Always feel free to send us your questions. They don't have to be sports or fantasy related. You can find me on the Bird app at DannyOcean41. D, take us home.
Oh, guys, make sure you follow me at Los Demix. That's LOSDEEMIX. I can't really stress how thankful we are for you guys week in and week out. I was going to play Champions again, but I think I may go another route.
Okay.
I got something for us.
Okay.
Because it ain't nothing but a G thing, baby. Listen, you could have been anywhere in the world, but you was here with us on this Tuesday night. 3-4.
Snoop Doggy Dog.
Thank you all for the love and support. Here's to another 100.
Catch y'all next week.